be, and the choir will sing the first verse. And on the fourth verse, if we would all rise, and we'll sing the fourth verse together. Good morning. My name is Scott Cheatwood. I'll be filling in for Michael this morning. I'd like to start with a reading from the Psalms. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. It's the word of the Lord. Welcome today as we gather to worship our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'd also like to give a special welcome to any visitors, because we can relate. And I would like to welcome all of y'all here as well. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. There are some announcements on the back of, or the second page of your bulletin. And there will be no Bible study this week, and there will be a wedding, Abigail Fraley and John Self. It will be 3 p.m. on January 25th in 2020, that's coming up, at 314 Clark Creek Road in Brandon, Mississippi. And everyone is invited to attend, but you are requested to RSVP at the website listed in the bulletin before January 3rd. So. May seem like you have some time to RSVP, but it'll be here before you know it. The church plants sponsored by our presbytery include Quest Church in New Braunfels, Texas, and Haven Church in Katy, Texas. And if you'd like to help with these efforts, make your check to First Presbyterian Church and label it either Quest Church or Haven Church. And please pray for Nick and Amanda, Elizabeth and Greg, and Jackie as they participate in Engage 2025 project in the Middle East, and for Kevin and Jenna as they prepare to join them next fall. If you'd like to help them out, you can make your check to First Presbyterian Church and label it either Nick and Amanda, Elizabeth and Greg, Jackie, or Kevin and Jenna. Before we continue, I'd also like to encourage you to sit or stand as you're accustomed to, and I'll let you lead me through that part of the worship. If you would pray with me. Holy Father, we are here this morning in the name of our Savior Jesus to praise you, our triune God, our creator, our sustainer, our goodness, and our worth. You have made a great nation of but a few people. Your unending faithfulness endures forever. Time and time again, you patiently call to us, teaching us, shaping us. When we go astray, you rebuke us. You do not withhold your goodness and do not count our deeds against us. But your justice still remains. You have fulfilled your justice through your own son's death, even death on a cross, that your wrath might be satisfied and your justice maintained. All praise be to you, Father, for all good things we owe to you. Through the work of your Holy Spirit, may our worship today be worthy of you. May the reading and understanding of your word bring you glory, and may our songs bring you delight. May the preaching of your word convict us through our sins, of our sins, and draw us close to you through our repentance and faith. Come down from your heavenly courts. Lead us with your spirit and allow us to be in the presence of your glory. Keep us from sluggish ways that are not worthy of you. We pray all this in the name of our Savior Jesus, who covers us in his holy blood, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you would turn to page 6, or hymn 639 in your hymnal, for the responsive reading. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound came from heaven,
like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting.
And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven.
And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, What does this mean? The others mocking said, They are filled with new wine.
But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you. And give ear to my words.
But these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day.
But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams.
Yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy.
And it shall be that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
That's right. Please stand for hymn 197.
Sacred love.
Brothers and sisters, as we gather here this morning, remember that we are united with a church that is of this whole world, that gathered this morning also to worship the same God. If you would turn to the beginning of your hymnal, let us state what we believe in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Let's go. You may be seated. I'm just going to take a moment to tell you a little bit about myself, and then we can excuse anyone that is going afterwards, the children. But my name is Scott Cheatwood. I'm currently a student at Reformed Theological Seminary in Jackson, and this is my first year. I come from Mandeville, Louisiana, where we attended New Covenant Presbyterian Church, and I was a ruling elder there, and I've gone from ruling elder to student, and I cannot believe that is what I'm supposed to be doing. It's really amazing. So thank you so much for allowing us to come here this morning, for allowing me to preach. I really appreciate it. And since this is a minute for mission, I was struck by the folks that you all are supporting who are out in the mission field. And as you can imagine, there are many families at the seminary that are have either left or are planning to leave to go both to faraway places like Jakarta, Japan. We have people going to Peru, but also people going to, this may seem odd, but to New Jersey. And there are places in the United States that are considered part of the mission field because of the lack of faithful churches there. And I wanted to just commend you on supporting them, and your financial help is definitely needed as these folks raise money to go and do what the Lord has called them to do. But also, they need your prayer. Don't underestimate the real and true power of prayer, and these folks truly need your support in many ways. So I just wanted to encourage you for that. I'm not sure if you should rise, but I think so. For the hymn of meditation, hymn number 2.
Its own appointed limits keep.
We'll have a moment of silent prayer and meditation, and then I will end us in prayer as well. Pray with me. Father, forgive us. We have turned our backs to you. We have given our hearts to idols we have created. We've exalted the creature over the creator. And yet you remain faithful. You give us your word that you might be known and we might be saved. You put work in our hands that is holy and sanctifying. We are fulfilled in you. You work in each of us, your elect, that we may be built up in your holiness. Open our ears that we can receive your message. Open our lips that we can proclaim the goodness of your salvation to an unbelieving world. To our family, our friends, our neighbors, and even to our enemies, may all of humanity know you and praise you for your goodness and glory. We thank you for those who have spoken to us, who heard your word and shared with us the key to our salvation, the gospel, the good news of Jesus, who died for our sins so that your justice might remain and your wrath satisfied. We give you thanks for those that are persecuted for your sake, both far away and close at home. We thank you for those that tell the gospel in the face of adversity. Those that have given all, even their life, so that your glory may be known. And those that now face horrors that we may never know, strengthen them, sanctify them, and comfort them. Father, I lift up this congregation, especially those among us who feel they have reason to doubt your goodness. For those who are facing surgery, sickness, addiction, persecution, for their faith in you, strengthen them, connect them with other members of this congregation, that we may know the joy of serving each other. May we be willing to serve you as you have served us, even to the point of death. Send us to do your work, that we may experience your goodness firsthand. I pray for Michael as he shepherds this flock, that he would continue to lead a life in the service of your holy word, for the ruling elders of this congregation, that they might truly know and love you. Remove us from us a sense of self-worth, that we may know the worth that we have in you. If we know you, may we rejoice. If we know you, may we bear the good fruit of your spirit so that you may be glorified. We know that there is order in your plan. Your word tells us that there will be chaos and persecution. May your word strengthen us. Give me wisdom and strength and clear speech to encourage and to preach your word this morning. Open our ears and our hearts. May we seek and understand your word. May it be hidden in our hearts. And may we walk in the newness of life received through faith in our Savior Jesus. All glory and honor be to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let us continue our worship this morning as we give. May we give out of cheerfulness because God has given us everything. And nothing truly belongs to us, but to God. How gracious He is. Father, please accept these gifts as you have freely given, we have freely given. Please bless them. And may, through the wisdom of your Holy Spirit, this church utilize these to serve your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our reading today is from the book of Acts. I have two page numbers listed, page 808 and 1321. We'll be in Acts chapter 8. We'll be reading verses 26 through 39. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen to the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot. And he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him, and he heard him reading Isaiah the prophet, and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. This is the word of God. In our reading today, we get to see the process of discipleship from beginning all the way to conversion. It happens really quick in the story. It's pretty amazing. In Philip, we see the evangelist. We see someone who is understanding of God's word. And at first he's a stranger to the eunuch, and it doesn't last very long. He soon becomes very important in the eunuch's salvation. The eunuch, we see someone who we might be able to relate to today. We see someone who is disciplined, motivated, he's successful in what he does, he's smart and competent. We know that a queen would not have someone who was unable to take care of her treasures, in charge of her treasures. He's actually able to command people. He commands the chariot to stop. So he has people under his charge. He's a man of responsibility. And we also see that he's religious. He's a religious man. He's most likely a proselyte, a Jewish convert. So he has taken up the religion of the Jews, and he is making a pilgrimage to Jerusalem, to the temple, to where all worship happens for the Jews. But let's take a little bit of a closer look at Philip and understand who he is and how the Holy Spirit has prepared him for his ministry. First, called to be a deacon in Jerusalem from the apostles to take care of the Gentile widows who felt they were not receiving their fair share. So his first role in his ministry was simply taking care of people and making sure that people who were not being taken care of were taken care of. After the martyr of Stephen, we see him fleeing to Samaria. And in Samaria, it must have been a very exciting time. He's preaching to great crowds of people. They're coming to faith in Jesus. Not only that, you see unclean spirits coming out of people. You see lame people walking, paralyzed people walking. There's no doubt that Philip was gaining confidence in how powerful and real the gospel is. The eunuch, on the other hand, he's kind of a different story, but maybe it's a little less radical, maybe a little more approachable. We know that he has the power to command. We know that he's responsible. We also know that he's seeking God. As I said, he's a Jewish proselyte. And this trip to Jerusalem, I went on Google Maps, just I was curious, and I found out that from where the eunuch may have started, we don't know exactly where, but it was most likely somewhere in Syria. From where he started, it was about an 18-day walk. So I guess someone has walked from Syria to Jerusalem that works for Google, and they've mapped that out. But that's a pretty incredible walk. I can just think, if I had to walk to worship 18 days to get to worship, I would hope I would be committed enough to make that trip. That is a long trip, and that's the only one way. So probably about 40 days for this eunuch to go from Ethiopia to Jerusalem. So he's committed. That's a commitment. I think that as we look to understand this, we need to see that Philip is being uniquely prepared from Jerusalem and Samaria to meet a stranger in the desert, to meet somebody that he doesn't know in a place that he doesn't know, just because the Holy Spirit or an angel told him to go. And the eunuch also, through his life, is being prepared for this moment. But I want to take a closer look at the moment right before his conversion. So he is traveling. So let's rewind a little bit. And you got to think, he's got to go talk to the queen and say, "Hey, I'd like to take this time off. I'm going to Jerusalem." And I don't know about you, but when it's time for vacation, the weeks leading up to vacation are miserable. You have to make sure that your job is going to be taken care of. Your responsibilities don't go away. You know that when you come back, you're going to have to redo most of the stuff that you ask somebody else to do because they didn't do it the way you wanted them to do it. It's really a stressful time to go on vacation. And I would say that this maybe is like a vacation. So the eunuch is doing all this preparation. So not only in his life, but in the weeks leading up, he's preparing to go to this pilgrimage to the temple. And you've got to imagine the anticipation as well. So everything that he studied in becoming a Jewish proselyte, everything that he's learned about temple worship, he's going to experience it firsthand at the temple in Jerusalem, where the presence of God is. And so as he's building up, he's getting more stressed, the intensity is growing, and then he leaves in his chariot. And he's taking his 18-day chariot ride to Jerusalem. And now you can just feel the weight's lifted off of him. And he knows that when he gets to the temple, it's going to be glorious. He's going to be worshiping God the way he's been studying. This isn't in the scripture, by the way. This is just my imagination. But just imagine, as he gets there, he goes to the temple worship. It's everything that he wanted. You know, he can feel his religiousness burning inside of him. I can imagine him in the temple gift store, looking at all the different scrolls, and he's looking to what he's going to take home with him. And there's Isaiah right there. And he knows that's the one he wants. And he has his chariot pulled around, and as he's heading back his 18-day journey back to Ethiopia, he's reading his scroll, and he's just, you know, devouring the words. It's everything that he wanted. And then he starts to realize that he can't understand what he's reading. You know, he's got this roadblock. And so all of this buildup, all of this anticipation, all of this work, it's coming down to nothing. He's in the middle of the desert, and he can't understand the words that he's reading that are right in front of him. Now, understand that these are the words that were supposed to be enlightening him. This pilgrimage was supposed to be something that was making his faith stronger. And now he can't understand anything that he's saying, that he's reading. I can imagine it's turning into frustration. and frustration so much that he invites a stranger, a dirty, probably smelly stranger who's been walking in the desert, into his royal chariot. And notice too, what is the interaction? How does it start? We have all this preparation. Philip has all this training. And it all starts with a simple question. He hears the eunuch reading something familiar. He says, "What are you reading? You understand what you're reading?" It's the exact right question. And it's so simple. And it's the exact thing that the eunuch needs to hear. "I don't know what I'm reading. If somebody doesn't tell me, how am I going to know?" This whole time, the eunuch has Jesus right in his lap. The scripture that he's reading is a prophecy about Jesus. "He was led as a sheep to slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he does not open his mouth. In humiliation, his judgment was taken away. Who will relate his generation? For his life is removed from the earth." He had no idea that what he was reading was what he needed for life. That's what he was really looking for. All the good things that he was doing to get to that point amounted to nothing. I wonder, can you relate to the eunuch and all of the things that you're striving to do and all the things that our society tells us are good things to do? Working, being a loyal employee, being religious. All these things are what society tells us is right. But if something's missing, it's for nothing. Be honest and take stock. Pray that the Holy Spirit is calling somebody to help you unlock the mystery of our Savior. Someone to disciple you. Listen closely and pray for wisdom that you might hear the Holy Spirit's call to go and help your brothers or sisters. And know too that it's not Philip's friends, it's not Philip's family that he's helping. It's a complete stranger. And I would even point out that an Ethiopian to someone in Jerusalem would be an exotic stranger, someone completely different. And yet there he is, because he's listening to the Holy Spirit. No doubt he's praying every day, "Give me people, give me work." Imagine the excitement that he's just come from in Samaria. Who would want something different? This is the example that we need to follow. We should do this for the ones that we love and care about, but also for the ones that God loves and that God cares about. That's a lot more than the people that are the people that we know. And it's through ordinary means with extraordinary support that Philip's able to communicate this to the eunuch. There's nothing extraordinary about reaching out and making a relationship with somebody. There was nothing extraordinary about Philip making a conversation with the only other person that he saw in the desert. There weren't that many other people to talk to. But that's how we can be an instrument to God. I know sometimes it seems difficult to reach out to people that we don't know. And I know sometimes it may even seem difficult to share the gospel. But the way we do this, the way we become instruments of righteousness, as Philip was. Paul reminds us in Romans that we're to consider ourselves dead to sin. Then we can present ourselves as righteousness, as instruments of righteousness to God. But just as the eunuch's incapable of seeing what's right in front of him, we cannot be instruments of God without faith in Jesus. We may rule over treasures or people. We may be heads of family. We may think that we rule over ourselves. But no matter what our accomplishments are, we stand incompetent. Unless we believe in the death and the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who reigns right now as a human being and as God at the right hand of our Father. If we go where we want, We serve ourselves. Like the eunuch. If we go where God and the Holy Spirit lead us, we serve Him. There's no better place to be than where God wants you to be. He and the eunuch, Philip and the eunuch, they were both striving. They're both committed. They were both loyal. But only Philip had Jesus. Philip knew that Jesus was the key to everlasting life. And he was serving God's people. Because of Philip's devotion to the word and obedience to God, the eunuch was saved. And he was baptized into the death of Christ Jesus so that he too would walk and walks now in the newness of life. So if you're like the eunuch, pray to God for someone to explain the mysteries to you. And if you're like Philip, pray for disciples. There is nothing sweeter than someone coming to know Jesus Christ through reading scripture with them, through praying with them, and through telling them the gospel and the good news. To God be all the glory through our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you would rise and join in hymn 470.
The royal.
Reading from the book of Hebrews. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with every good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.